Thank you for downloading the Radio Cardiff Sport Podcast. For more information about the show, go to our blog,
radiocardiffsport.blogspot.com.
This is the Monday Night Sports Show on 98.7 FM, Radio Cardiff.
Good evening, I'm Francis Taylor, and this is the Monday Night Sports Show. We're here on 98.7 in Cardiff with award-winning sporting discussion and debate. And coming up on the show, we review the weekend's football, including Cardiff's away defeat to Forest, our Premier League roundup and reaction to Rio Ferdinand's protests and the assault on Chris Kirkland. Our studio guests are Carwin Jones, lecturer in sports ethics at Cardiff Metropolitan University, and Mark Leishen from Alcohol Concern Cymru, and they're here to discuss the relationship between alcohol and sport. Details of how to take part in tonight's discussion are coming right up. We've also discussed the Lance Armstrong doping scandal. Simon brings us his match report from the Blues and his regular ice hockey update. And of course, we have our Fantasy League Top 10 Countdown. And to get involved with the show, give us a call on 02920 235 664. Or you can send us a text on 07728 758 759. Or email the studio, sports@radiocardiff.org.
Across Cardiff on 98.7 FM and online at radiocardiff.org.uk. You're listening to Radio Cardiff Sport.
Only on Radio Cardiff.
It's 5 minutes past seven. A very warm welcome indeed to the Monday Night Sports Show here on Radio Cardiff. And I'm here with Simon and Yusuf. And I know, guys, we want to start by definitely dedicating this show to the tragic events in Ely the other day and to the family of Karina Menzies, who sadly lost her life. It's terrible, terrible for the city. But, community radio, we're here to bring people together, aren't we, guys?
Absolutely. I mean, terrible events, but sometimes in these sort of moments you see the finer side of society, and I think that is definitely happening at the moment. There's a lot of support and people are coming together over really what can only be described as a tragic incident.
Definitely. Well, back to the sporting front then. Guys, I hope you had a good sporting week. Simon, good evening. How are you?
Good evening.
Simon's, just for listeners' benefit here, Simon is currently looking like he's waiting for a bus on the far side of the studio. We have Carwin and Mark, our guests, are sitting in front of me, but Yusuf and Simon look like two spare parts at a wedding. Simon, a good sporting week, and I know you were at the Blues yesterday. Not such a highlight necessarily that, but have you got a highlight for us?
Yeah, mine's going to be FA Cup final qualifying round, Yates Town versus Newport County. I popped over to Yates, first time I've been over there. Absolutely tremendous clubhouse. It was great. It was £10 to get in. Absolutely tremendous to see. Wherever you turn, it was Newport County fans, but everybody was mingling. There was no segregation, which there normally is. It was just and Yates themselves proud. There's three divisions below Newport County, who were top of the Blue Square Premier, and County took a 1-0 lead. And Jefferson Louis, and the first half, we had about 14 attacks on their goal. But their goalkeeper, Josh Dempsey, pulled out some tremendous saves and was able to keep it to 1-0 to County at half time. So, County fans were just talking, thinking, second half, it's just going to be one way traffic, we're going to finish it, it's no problem. But no, fair play. They said that County had a bit of a problem on the left hand side, so they were able to do some damage on the left, and they were 3-1 up with coming into the last couple of minutes. Then Jefferson Louis got another goal, but it was disallowed for being pushing, and then the last minute actual time, Aaron O'Connor scored, being company's top goal scorer. And then there was quite a few people who were leaving by then. my mates decided we'd stay till the end anyway.
It's because you're a true fan, Si.
Yeah, that's right. And we thought, we could do something here. And 4 minutes of injury time, Tony James comes up from the corner, gets the all-important equaliser, which takes County into a replay tomorrow at Rodney Parade.
Yeah.
And if they win that, they're playing Cheltenham Town a week next Saturday in the first round prop of the FA Cup. And they're
fantastic.
Doing really well. Top of the conference. Wrexham are doing really well. They're second in the conference. They've got a good tie. They're playing Alfreton, who aren't doing so well in the Blue Square. So Wrexham should definitely be through. Mm. And it'd be great to see Newport go through and hopefully put a good performance up against Cheltenham.
Spot on. Where is Yate?
Bristol.
Bristol. There we go. Yeah. Brilliant. Thanks a lot, Si. That's fantastic. Yeah. Yusuf, good evening.
Good evening, Francis.
And a good sporting week.
Not a bad sporting week. Simon, was that the goalkeeper you said that came up for the corner?
No, that was one of the...
Oh, just the defender.
Yeah.
I was only wondering.
Getting excited then, weren't you?
Al Habsi came up for a corner
at the
weekend, and if he would have scored, that would have been my sporting highlight of the week. But he didn't.
So what is your sporting highlight of the week?
My sporting highlight of the week, I've been trying to squeeze this in on the show for a couple of weeks now, to be fair, and I haven't had the best sporting week, so I'm going to do it now. And say that I'm absolutely addicted to this year's Pro Evolution Soccer on the Xbox 360.
It's not real!
Well, it's not real, Francis, but we've had this discussion before.
but it's not real.
Well, football is a real sport, and for most football fans, or a lot of football fans, there's a time of the year where Pro Evolution Soccer goes head-to-head with FIFA, and it's a massive, massive thing. And then a couple of months later, you've got Football Manager coming out as well.
For an awful lot of football fans,
this is a huge
deal. It's when girlfriends and personal hygiene go out the window, isn't it?
Yeah, well, both, actually. That's why I'm still over here, and that's why I had to walk to the studio, because my missus is absolutely sick to death. But I am absolutely addicted. They've really nailed it, and for everyone, all I can say is go out there and get yourself a copy of the game, because it's superb.
Oh, Yusuf. I really don't know what to say.
Hello there, my name is Smoking Joe Frazier, sharp as a razor. You're listening to the radio on 98.7. Check them out, they turn you on.
So it's 7:10, and after that revelation from Yusuf there, and his segregation to the far side of the studio, it's a real pleasure to welcome our two guests this evening. And we're going to be debating the issue of the relationship between alcohol and sport, which I'm sure that everyone out there listening will definitely see as a pretty strong relationship, or necessarily not a good one. So our guests are Dr. Carwin Jones. You're a lecturer in sports ethic at Cardiff Metropolitan University. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to have you here. And Mark Leishen from Alcohol Concern Cymru. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Good stuff. Start with Mark. We've invited you in tonight because I know that Alcohol Concern is launching a new campaign directly related to sport. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about that before we start our discussion?
Yes, it's a brand new campaign. It's called Don't Let Alcohol Ruin the Result, and it's all about the relationship between alcohol and sport. We're asking sports fans and players at all levels in Wales to start thinking about how excessive drinking can actually ruin a good day's sport. Mm. Alcohol is big in Wales, but so is big drinking when we're talking about sport. So we want to challenge the idea that sport and alcohol actually go together, whether we're watching sport at the ground or in the pub or on the sofa, or whether we're playing sport, or whether we're socialising with teammates after the game. Alcohol seems to be at the centre of this, and we're encouraging players and fans to think about whether they would like to enjoy the game more through drinking less.
Hmm. And Carwin, just to bring you in here, your sort of background with sports ethics and everything, I know this is an area, the relationship between alcohol and sport, that you're particularly interested in.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I guess my concern in general is the alcohol tolerance society, or probably more than that, positive alcohol society, an ethos of excessive drinking. And I'm interested in the role that sport plays in this. Generally, we see our sporting heroes as role models, and in terms of healthy lifestyle and that kind of thing, we see sport as a vehicle for promoting healthy lifestyles and living good, healthy lives. But unfortunately, in relation to alcohol, often alcohol and sport are a problem, in the sense that not only do people tend to drink more when they watch sport, but also after playing sport or when watching sport, there's a lot of alcohol consumption that's attached to that. There's a sort of central part of that, if you like.
Mm. With the campaign then, Mark, it's obviously you're looking not only at the professionals and everything else, but also the amateurs, us going down the fields on a Saturday or whatever. And we're talking a little bit off air. You think it's interesting how, you know, we know we're playing a Sunday league game, but we'll go out and get trolleyed the night before or whatever. I mean, just tell us a little bit about the sort of the effects that alcohol can have on the body of a sportsman at whatever level.
Well, the obvious one is dehydration. I mean, I think, as you say, lots of us have gone out the night before. If we're amateur sports people and we've got a game on a Sunday morning, if we've gone out on a Saturday night and we've drunk 10 pints, then obviously on that Sunday morning we're not going to be at our best. We're going to be feeling tired, we're going to be feeling dehydrated, and we're not going to perform to our best. And that goes beyond sport, actually. That goes to wider society, that if we drink lots of alcohol, unfortunately we don't perform that well. And this is what the campaign's about, really. Don't let booze ruin the result. So for players out there that want to play sport, even at an amateur level, the best way to do that is to kind of cut down on the drinking. Mm.
And in terms of the relationship with sport and fans as well, I mean, it's extraordinary, really, how there does seem to be this. I can't really put it into words, really. This matchup between, as you said, you know, sitting down in front of Scrum 5 or whatever it is on a Friday evening and just immediately reaching for alcohol. What sort of, you know, social effects from the work you've done with your charity, what social effects can this sort of have on people?
Well, obviously, drinking to excess is bad news. It's bad news for your health, first and foremost. Mm. Certainly in the short term, if you drink too much, then we know we get intoxicated. We might feel unwell. In the longer term, you know, obviously we've got things like liver disease and heart disease. If someone's drinking heavily for 20, 30 years, which, you know, sports fans, if they're dedicated followers of a club, it may be that they're drinking heavily on a weekend, every weekend of the season for many years, then obviously that's going to have a detrimental impact on your health, first and foremost.
Cohen, your research or your interest in this has sort of led you to look at the role model issue, which you touched on earlier. What is it, do you think, it is about sort of professional sport? I mean, we idolise people, but why do you think there is this this tendency for professional sportsmen often to not necessarily promote, but certainly publicly be binging all the time, or setting a bad example?
Well, I think professional sports, in some way, they've set a sort of good example in they've changed the culture. That isn't as much sort of afternoon drinking or drinking clubs like they used to be at Manchester United and Arsenal in the Tony Adams and Brian Robson days. But what continues is the elevation or the valorisation of the binge, the alcoholic binge, the consumption of large quantities of alcohol as the only way or the right way to celebrate, to bond, to wind down, so that the alcohol and the excessive alcohol becomes a kind of accompaniment to any social activity, including sort of sporting victories. Mm. And often the sponsors provide a slab of beer, champagne is sprayed around on the football pitch afterwards. So we see this kind of the maintenance of the relationship between drinking lots of alcohol very quickly and certain social events like celebrations and sort of team bonding, that kind of thing.
Mm. I would just say that when we had the racism debate a little while ago, specifically in football, I mean, this is probably the largest amount of sportsmen we're talking about here, from the top down to the bottom. Football is very much a reflection on society. So if you see footballers drinking and binge drinking, then do you not think that that is a reflection on the society that they are a part of?
Yeah, I think this is a part of the important question about role models. I mean, are young 21, 22-year-old multimillionaires supposed to be role models? Are they good role models? In a sense, I think what they're doing is what any other 21-year-old young man would do. It's just they've got £100,000 a week to do it with. So their kind of socialisation involves, you know, very expensive clubs, attractive women. It's a kind of heightened process of what, as you were saying, goes on amongst the general public anyway. It's whether or not we expect more of them, or ought we to expect more of them. That's the question I'm interested in.
And Mark, I would ask you, if you're trying to tackle this in general with the sports view in public, how do you aim to deal with the fact that many kids will their experience of sport at the weekend may very well be going to the pub with their dad to watch the game, or going to the match where he's drinking with his friends, drinking at half time and then continuing to drink afterwards. I mean, it's very much, rightly or wrongly, a British tradition and a very British... I mean, is it a British way of watching sport? Because you see... Does this go on in other countries?
I think it probably does. I think in Australia they're quite big drinkers, and other parts of the world, New Zealand. I think New Zealand rugby's got various issues with alcohol as well. I think you're right. I think it's ingrained in our culture. Sport is very much a pro-alcohol environment, and as you say, kids go to the game and they're alongside, certainly with rugby, for example, they're alongside people drinking in the stands watching the game, and. You know, it's ingrained in the culture, and it's very difficult to change. If for example, you were to join your local rugby club, for example, you'd be expected to be a big drinker, and if you're not, you'd be expected to become one pretty soon. And how you actually challenge that is very difficult, and it's not something that can happen overnight.
But do you think that sports is taking strides in a way? Because I feel that very much things have changed, as you said, in the 80s and the 70s and before. Footballers were getting drunk before matches and in between matches, and definitely at the end of matches, whereas sportsmen these days are a part of a bigger business and are very much an investment. There's a lot of nutritional guides, and people watch what their investments are doing now. So do you think that sport is going in the right direction?
I think attitudes are changing, certainly at top level sport. I mean, take the example of the Welsh rugby team last year in the World Cup. The captain, Sam Warburton, and others were saying, well, actually, we're not going to drink alcohol because we've worked hard all summer and we're not going to blow it by having a big booze up before a match. So, and hey presto, they get to within a whisker of the final. Yeah. So, bit by bit, certainly at top level, it's changing. We still get examples of the occasional individuals that perhaps don't set that good example. But that hasn't really transferred down to amateur levels. And our survey said that 85% of sports fans say they drink alcohol every time they watch their favourite sport. And that's a lot of alcohol being consumed. And we have to look as well at the message that's been sent out by the alcohol industry, because they're obviously very keen to associate themselves with sport.
I got a point out there. You did just say our survey says.
Our survey says, yeah.
But when it comes to the ethical side of things, one thing that I know has been an issue is the issue of sponsorship, and particularly on the front of jerseys, because I'm a long-suffering Liverpool fan, actually, and I did live in Dubai for a while, where you could buy the Liverpool strip, but you couldn't buy it with the well-known sponsor that was on the front of their shirt for a very long time. But I know that lately it's become an issue for the youngsters' kits, so an adult could buy the shirt with an alcoholic sponsor, but not so much kids. Do you know, aside from alcohol, now there's issue with loan sharks or
Wonga.com, isn't it?
Wonga.com being on the front of shirts as well. So this, I feel, falls into the ethical side of things. Can you shed any more light on the developments there?
I think that over the years we've seen the sponsorship of sport being regulated, so tobacco is no longer allowed to sponsor sports in the UK. In Denmark, for example, alcohol companies aren't allowed to sponsor their teams. But what the alcohol companies are doing very craftily, I suppose, is they're now bringing out soft drinks. So in Denmark, you can buy Carlsberg soft drinks. So what the company's saying, this is not Carlsberg Lager that's sponsoring you, this is Carlsberg soft drink. So the alcohol industry are promoting brand loyalty with children through soft drinks. And I think, as was mentioned, I think the alcohol industry have a role to play here, because I feel that sort of, drinking, the cost of drinking is being socialised. We're having to pay, taxpayers are paying for cleaning up our streets, for the hospitals, for the emergency services, whereas the alcohol industry are reaping the profits. They're not paying for this. The taxpayers are paying to clean up after drinking, and the alcohol companies, if you like, are making a huge profit off the consumption of alcohol, and are paying lip service, I think, sometimes to responsible drinking. you know, opening pubs at 9 o'clock in the morning for breakfast on international days, providing you know, buy one get one free, you know, these trays of alcohol that you can now buy. You can buy things in trays and carry them through offers. So, you know, there is a role, I think, for the alcohol industry to play, and maybe to do with sponsorship, maybe to do with responsible marketing and so forth. I think it's an important role that they have to play.
I just think as well on that sponsorship issue, the children replica T-shirt, football kits now and rugby kits, they're not allowed to have football sponsors on their shirt. I think it plays to gambling as well. But but clubs have, and the industry have got around that. For example, Chang Beer is the sponsor of Everton. Now, they can't advertise on children's replica kits, but they have got Changi the Elephant, who goes around local primary schools as the kind of mascot. But, of course, he's named after a beer, and obviously children are becoming familiar with an alcohol brand that way as well, so it's quite crafty.
Don't forget, if you've got a view on this, then you can always give us a call here at Radio Cardiff. Come on air and join in the debate. It's 029-20-235-664. That's 20-235-664 in Cardiff. And you can also send us a text on 07728-758-759. That's 07728-758-759. I go back to the shirt issue as well, of course. And Simon, you're at the Heineken Cup on Sunday yesterday at the Arms Park. That's a massive, massive thing. The Champions League of rugby. The Champions League itself has got, you know, beer sponsors. Again, I think it's Heineken
Amstel.
Again. Amstel, isn't it? That's right. But of course, they get round it in France with the H Cup, don't they? And that red star is still a very prominent symbol.
Yeah, and Brains had to change their shirt to Braun.
That's right,
for the
Brains
rugby team. Yeah, right. There's something in France called the Loi Avant, and it's a law, and it's much tougher regulation. Mm. So advertising must only be factual, and it can't be targeting under 18s.
Mm. I mean, we talked about the financial implications of things. There's been a lot of debate recently in the media about the use of unit pricing, and I think they're bringing it in Scotland, aren't they? I think I'm right in saying. Where do you stand on that at Alcohol Concern Festival?
There's a consultation just about to be launched by the government in London as well. Alcohol Concern's been advocating a 50 pence per unit minimum price for some time. All the evidence says if you want to actually reduce overall consumption levels, the best way to do it is to target price and availability. That is, how expensive it is and how easy it is to get hold of. If you address those two massive issues, as well as the marketing that we talked about earlier, then we can maybe drive down overall alcohol consumption levels. And there's evidence from Canada that was released just this week. There's a minimum pricing policy in one of the provinces in Canada, and it's shown to reduce alcohol consumption levels quite considerably.
There is an argument, though, I think, with some people that actually putting a unit price on would only affect the very lowest sort of quality of alcohol and wouldn't necessarily affect, say, you know, the big thing about the middle class drinker sitting down with a bottle of Zinfandel.
Sure.
It wouldn't affect them.
I think it would, because, well, everyone loves a bargain, whether you've whether you're middle class, lower class, whatever you want to call yourself. You're still going to buy those 3 for 2 bottles of wine in the supermarkets, and you're still going to drink them. So the evidence suggests that we're all price sensitive, actually, and unfortunately.
But is that unit price going to be enough to hit that, or does the unit price have to be actually have to be higher to really have an effect on that?
Well, the consultation is about what level should it be set, but the evidence suggests that it needs to be at least 50 pence, really, to have a significant impact. And we know that consumption levels in Wales and across the country is too high, really, and price and availability are the ways to kind of drive it down.
Sure.
I think that, as has been said, I think evidence from across the world at various different times where countries have had prohibition, countries have had pricing, that this does affect the consumption and associated harms. I think one thing that I think is important is to bring this unit idea to the fore, because I'm not sure whether people actually know what it is. So, for example, alcohol companies market and produce alcohol in cans. Carlsberg Export, for example, where one can of Carlsberg Export puts you over your recommended daily intake of units. So they're actually selling this. So they say on the can, drink, you know, beware, drink wise, but they're selling you it in units that take you over your recommended daily intake. So I think the price may bring the unit, if you like, to people's viewpoint. You know, so if you're saying, well, I'm paying a lot of money for this, well, that's because you're paying a lot of money, but you're actually consuming now for your £5 what you should be consuming. You shouldn't be consuming more than this in a day. Whereas at the moment, you can sort of, you know, for £5, you can consume 3, 4, 5, 6 times the amount you should be consuming. Yeah. So I think price is an important issue.
I mean, the one question that has to be asked here, I guess, okay, if you allow me to play a little bit of devil's advocate, is what is wrong with your average man going down to the football, having a pint with his mates before the match, having a pint in the middle at half time while he's talking about the match, and then going for a couple of pints afterwards to talk about a match? I mean, I don't know about how the units would break down and everything else, but this is somebody who's been to work all week and doesn't drink all week excessively, but he wants to go out and have a couple of drinks while he watches his favourite football team. What's the harm in that?
Well, yeah, that's a difficult question. I think entitlement is an interesting one here, that somehow we are entitled to alcohol in the sense that this has become the measure of our sort of working day or what we look forward to on the weekend. And of course, it's very difficult to answer that question, but there are lots of, without just repeating the associated harm, so maybe the money of the working man could be better spent somewhere else rather than 6 pints of beer. That's equivalent to, I guess, £12, £15. That could be better spent. The cost of the NHS, of this continued practice. There's all sorts of associated costs. But if you're talking about freedom of choice, if you like, of course, everyone's entitled to exercise their freedoms in certain ways. But there's always a caveat to that, which is as long as it doesn't harm anybody else. The question is whether or not society's drinking, the way that society in Britain drinks at the moment, constitutes harms beyond what we consider individuals' rights. And it's similar, I suppose, to the smoking issue. Is this harming me? The alcohol drinker will say, it's not doing anybody else any harm, it's just me. Well, of course, we could interrogate that further and come up with a whole list of possible or potential harms, depending on whether that person that you mentioned is actually drinking a couple of pints now and again, or they're actually consuming, you know, an amount of alcohol that could lead to a burden on the NHS, days off work, hangover days, not looking after the kids. You know, there's a whole host of issues that could arise. I'm not saying they do with everybody, but may arise.
And in the context of sport as well, just missing sporting moments that you would have seen if you hadn't been drinking alcohol. You know, there's a video on our website, drinkwhereswales.com, where we've interviewed people about their favourite sporting memorable moments. You know, things like Scott Gibbs going over for that try at Wembley and all those moments. But there's lots of people that would have been drinking too much, maybe would have been queuing at the bar or maybe in the toilets because they've become unwell just because they've had that extra drink, you know. And we're saying, we're not about abstinence, but we're saying, well, why are we drinking at the sport? And is it a case that perhaps we should be cutting down a bit?
Go on, sorry.
I think one of the difficulties with alcohol, I suppose, is that it's, you know, once you've started to drink alcohol, it's almost creates its own need or desire to drink more. And I think a lot of people don't intend to go out and get drunk or get into trouble or become victims. But often the consequence, particularly in the context of a match where people are celebrating, there's a peer pressure to have another drink, and people can get carried away. And I think, as has been mentioned, the message is maybe to just think carefully about the amount that we drink and what consequences that might have for us, the people around us, you know, our employees, and so forth.
Guys, we're just running over 7:33 now. We've got to play the ad, so we're 3 minutes late. Are you okay to hang on for a couple of minutes after 7:30 and continue the debate? Thank you very much. We'll be right back very soon. Don't go away.
Hello, I'm Neville Sattel. You listen to The Sports Show on Radio Cardiff.
Tune in to the Monday Night Sports Show with Francis, Yusuf and Simon on 98.7 FM Radio Cardiff. On
On Saturday, the 27th of October, the Rocking Chair celebrates Black History Month 2012. Why not join us for a night of 100% edutainment with the second annual Black History Month celebrations hosted by Radio Cardiff's DJ Scorpion. Teams to consist of two or more people. Quiz starts at 8 p.m. sharp. Remember, it's just for fun, but there are some great prizes for the winning team. Entertainment on the night will include live PAs by David Kareem, singing his unique style of soul, Motown and reggae. Mr. Lloydie Paris, one of Wales's finest reggae artists, plus from Radio Cardiff, DJ Scorpion and Georgina. Cost for this great night of edutainment is a mere £5 on the door. Includes free Caribbean food tasters. For further info, contact the Rocking Chair, Cathedral Road, Cardiff, or call 02920 644 150.
Are you afraid to answer your phone or open your post because your creditors won't leave you alone? Then why not speak to one of Helpdebt Plus's qualified advisors, either at your home or over the telephone? They'll take details of your creditors and negotiate with them to reduce your monthly outgoings into one low, affordable payment. Take control of your life again by calling Helpdebt Plus on 02920 611 935. There is no charge for discussing your requirements, and they have over 30 years' experience in helping local people just like you. Log on to the Helpdebt Plus website for further details.
Monday breakfast with Reese.
We've got a game of draw something going.
Joe.
You should have seen the snail-shaped frog.
And Mike.
This is Mike here.
Mondays from 7.
You're going to put a large knob of butter in a heavy bottom pan.
On Radio Cardiff.
Monday. I am disgraced to be in the studio with you two juveniles.
Tune in to the Monday Night Sports Show with Francis, Yusuf and Simon on 98.7 FM, Radio Cardiff.
It's 7.35. Welcome back to the Monday Night Sports Show here on Radio Cardiff. We're on 98.7 FM in Cardiff tonight. No online stream, I'm afraid. But don't worry, you'll be able to download the podcast later, free from the iTunes store. And, of course, you can get involved with the show by sending us an email on sports@radiocardiff.org. You can follow us on Twitter, which is radcardiff_MNSS. Or you can join us on Facebook, facebook.com/RadioCardiffMNSS. Now we're here with our studio guests, Sir Carwin Jones from Cardiff Metropolitan University and Mark Leishen from Alcohol Concern Cymru. And of course we've got Simon and Yusuf as well. Yusuf.
Yeah, it's a very interesting debate, I feel, and we ended up running over actually the allocated time. But it's a mammoth task, isn't it, really, to address, because even myself, even though I agree with a lot of what is being said, you know, you kind of get a little bit defensive when you think, well, I can go and watch the match or have a can when I'm watching Match of the Day. You know, what is the problem? But I think you hit the nail on the head when you were talking about missed sporting moments, because I know people that have missed an awful lot of football, and I've maybe watched UFC even really late in the night, and sometimes I know the fight was brilliant. Someone asked me about it the next day, and I'm like, well, I can't really remember it all to that great. So yeah. there's valid points to be made, but what I really want to know is, how do you really get somebody to look at something which is ingrained so much into their personality, and something that they've watched their fathers do, and something that they've watched their grandfathers do? How do you start to tackle that?
Well, it comes back to the two things we mentioned earlier, which is price and availability. So you're drinking at the game, for example, or a fan is drinking at the game because alcohol is being served at the venue. If alcohol wasn't being served at the venue, would you still go along and watch the football or the rugby? Well, you probably would. And it comes to price as well. If those drinks were a lot more expensive, we know that the cost of football and rugby tickets have gone up in recent years, perhaps we wouldn't have so much free money to spend on alcohol as well, and that would drive down our consumption as well. But as you say, it's ingrained in the culture, not just in sport, it's ingrained in the culture in Wales, and it's like a big tanker that we've got to turn around, and it's going to take a long time to do that.
And forgive me, I don't want to be controversial, but this whole aspect of pricing the fans out of their you know, so that they can't afford to do what they may want to do, I don't really agree with that personally, because that feels to me like you wake up in the morning, you go and you buy your ticket, you're not going to have a drink because you can't afford to have a drink, and then the footballers who are earning 100-odd grand a week, what's the first thing they're going to do after the match? Is they're going to go and have a drink with you? So then that's further escalating the gap between, you know, viewer of the sport and and sportsmen.
But then I suppose you throw into the mix there that the alcohol industry spend £800 million every year telling us what a great product alcohol is. I mean, if you go to the Facebook and Twitter accounts of sites like Guinness and Carlsberg, they're not talking about sport. They're not talking about alcohol, rather. They're talking about sport. They're tweeting about the latest rugby match, the latest football match. And you've got to think there's a whole marketing campaign behind this telling us we should go to the sport, but we should drink at the sport. And to change that, you know, it's not easy. I suppose it comes down to individual responsibility, but it also comes down to wider issues like making alcohol a little bit more expensive, a little less affordable, so that we can drive down overall consumption levels. I mean, putting the price up of anything is not going to be popular, but unfortunately, it's been proved to be effective.
I think for my point, the question is why would we want to? We've touched on some of those things. Why would we want to reduce consumption? I think, you know, part of it for other people in the game. I go to rugby, enjoy watching the rugby, enjoy going to the game, and often, you know, I don't like having alcohol poured down my. Down my back as the people are walking through the stands, and also I find that it seems that the drunker the people are, the more sort of abusive and you know, verbal abusive, swearing, you know, having a go at players and so forth. And that I don't think that helps the general sort of culture as well, where you're trying to enjoy the game. Yes, banter and singing and stuff and is part and parcel, but it does seem to me to be correlation between how drunk somebody is and how willing they are to engage in maybe some banter that sort of oversteps the mark, if you like. And that isn't, you know, that's something that of course, as you touched on it before at the beginning, that people are trying to sort of get in general behaviour of fans to be better at football matches. And I think that, you know, if fans aren't so drunk, or some fans aren't so drunk, I mean, that would help as well, I think.
So when we talk about getting into the mind of the, you know, the sports-related drinker, I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit, so whoever goes first is going to draw the short straw, as it were. But if you had one question or one statement that you could make to try and make these people look at the way they can consume alcohol and when it comes to sport, what would that statement or question be?
Mine would be, can you go without it? Try going without it. If you can't, maybe you need to look at yourself.
And I guess mine would be, why are you drinking when you're watching sport? What is the reason why you're doing that?
Because it raises the question, doesn't it? What is it that you actually like on a Saturday? Mm. Is it getting drunk with your friends, or is it going to watch the football or the rugby?
And would you enjoy sport more if you drank less? It's a valid question.
And I think we've spoken a lot about football and rugby, but there's cricket, there's darts, there's boxing and UFC, like we've just mentioned, the Formula One. I keep mentioning the size of the task, but it's absolutely mammoth, and this has been going on, you know, since the very beginning of time, it seems. I mean, how did it come that this relationship started? I mean, it just leads me to feel like it's natural. It's just a natural thing. It's a social thing. Sport is a social thing. Drinking is a social thing. Is it not natural that they would go hand in hand?
Well, I think, as you mentioned earlier on, I think it's a you know, a very strong relationship between the working classes going to watch sport and having a drink. You know, watching sport, drinking. You know, traditionally bastions of the working class. You know, South Wales. And at the beginning, the players themselves were working class, came from that background. It's slightly different now, I suppose, with a variety of different cultures that are in our Premiership and Premier League and so forth. But I think there's a, you know, maybe another issue that there has a long history of athletes, sportsmen and women, who've struggled with alcohol as well, have had their own demons with alcohol. And those are stories of inspiration, actually, for some people. Who've had problems with alcohol, been able to come through it. Tony Adams, for example, is a good role model of somebody who struggled with alcohol and is able to turn himself, his life around, and now is a good example to people of what you can do if you have, you know, if you have problems with alcohol. So I think there's some good role models in sport as well for around alcohol and people turning their lives around as well. I can't remember her name, which just escaped me. Women's football player herself. Written a book about her struggles with alcohol, particularly around being injured, boredom. We've talked about cricket, often there's lots of time to kill.
Yeah.
And people say, well, what should we do? Well, we'll have a pint or we'll have a drink, you know.
We get bored of Pro Evolution Soccer. Yes.
Yeah. Another question I'm going to ask, again, playing a little bit of devil's advocate, because believe it or not, I do support your cause. I really do. I mean, it's difficult sometimes if you want to take your family, say, down to watch the football. I mean, you know, the kids, they're not so bothered about it. But are you, you know, do you really want your kids in that environment with grown men drinking and swearing? But I certainly know that a lot of partners would not be interested in going to the sporting event because of the behaviour that they're expecting to see. But the question I'm going to ask you is, as much as we want to target the problems and the costings and all of the negative sort of more invisible impacts that this alcohol consumption has on UK, is it right really to be targeting the sporting side of it when it comes to the alcohol, or is the real damage being getting done, you know, by the non-sports fans who are going to the pub not to watch sport but just to get drunk, and the people who are going out clubbing at the end of a Friday or a Saturday night? I mean, where is it? I know that obviously with the sport, it's kind of an unwritten rule that you would be drinking, so I get why you're targeting them, but are they really the major problem here, or is it the rest of society?
I don't think it's a case of pointing fingers, really, and saying this section of society is to blame. And I think that's what happens when people start talking about alcohol. It's not me, it's not my problem, it's that person over there, or it's that group of people over there. So it's for example, it's young people out in town on a Friday and Saturday night, they're the problem. Or it's people that are buying cheap cider down the local orphy. When actually, the whole point of this campaign is, yes, it's talking about sport, but it's also the wider issue is that, you know, why is it that alcohol is so available and so cheap? Are we happy with that? And we've got to remember as well that alcohol is not a neutral product. It's actually a potentially addictive, toxic substance that if we abuse it, then unfortunately we're going to do ourselves harm and maybe others as well.
I think I'd agree with you, the point you made there. I think that the, you know, the ideas, we're coming up to Christmas and there'll be a you know, field hospital constructed in the middle of Cardiff to deal with the drunken problems. But I think the Olympics gave us an insight into a possible different way of spectating. I think the football at the Olympics were a great success. These big sporting occasions where a different way of watching football was experienced there, which, you know, may not sort of fit with the traditional masculine macho way of watching football, but there was good atmosphere, there seems to be a friendly atmosphere. And maybe there is a different way of watching football or rugby, which doesn't involve, not necessarily doesn't involve any drinking at all, but certainly doesn't involve the excessive setting out to get drunk as a lot of people do.
Mm. Although, unfortunately, one of the big sponsors of the Olympics were Heineken.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But again, that's the financial thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Guys, we could make a whole series out of this. You're going to have to come in again. But no, you are certainly very welcome on the show again. And I'm afraid we're going to have to wrap up there. But Colin and Mark, thank you so much indeed for your input this evening.
Thank you.
And Mark, as a representative of Alcohol Concern Cymru, if people are concerned about their own personal alcohol consumption, or they simply just want to do a little bit of research and check out, you know, how they can maybe improve things, what should they do?
Sure. For tips on cutting down and having a healthy relationship with alcohol, and then please visit Drinkwise Wales. There's the sport campaign on there, but there's things like a drinks diary that you can download if you want to track your drinking, and there's a units calculator as well if you're curious about how much you're actually drinking in terms of units. And if you're looking for help for yourself in terms of your heavy drinking, or you're concerned about a family member, then there's something called Dan 24/7. If you go on the website, if you Google that, it'll bring you to that website, and there's a free and confidential helpline where you can talk to someone about alcohol.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Colin and Mark. It's been an absolute pleasure having you in tonight.
Thanks, Francis. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks.
Tune in to the Monday Night Sports Show with Francis, Yusuf and Simon on 98.7 FM Radio Cardiff.
Soulful Saturday Breakfast with Jeremy Rees.
Saturday mornings, 8 till 10 on Radio Cardiff. Classic Soul, Northern Soul, Motown, and at 9:30, live in session local artists from across South Wales. We're waking you up with Rhythm, Radio Cardiff.
Have a soulful Saturday.
This is Nathan Cleverley. For the latest news on boxing and the world of sport, listen to the Radio Cardiff Sports Show on 98.7 FM.
So, welcome back to the Radio Cardiff Monday Night Sports Show. It's just come up to 11 minutes to 8 o'clock. And don't forget, at 8 o'clock, it's the B-Side Rock Show with Alan and Alex coming up. Simon, I know that we just very quickly want to talk about the Lance Armstrong issue now. Just a quick mention of it, but today he's been stripped of all his Tour de France and world titles, post-97, I think it is. We'll try and get Josh Morris on the phone at some stage, but extraordinary, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, such a great champion, and he looks like there's so much evidence coming out against him now.
Mm.
There's been proof that, unfortunately, what a cheat he was, really.
Yeah, it's a real tragedy, isn't it? And we're talking about role models just now, but drugs in sport is another issue altogether. But it is an absolute shocker, isn't it? Really,
yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Si, you probably haven't got your little bit of paper with you, but you can run over to the other side of the studio and grab that quickly. But Simon, as our roving ice hockey expert, we know all about that. But, of course, you were at Cardiff Blues yesterday. And just a mention then of the Heineken Cup fixture, Si. Just a very quick assessment. By all accounts, despite losing and missing out on the losing bonus points, Si, the Blues were not actually bad performers.
No, they put quite a... compared to how they've been playing recently, they put in quite a good performance. I mean, the pack is still, that is the real weakness there, is the pack. But really, it came down to the battle of the boots between Johnny Wilkinson and our very own Lee Halfpenny.
Yep.
But Johnny's won that battle. Toulon won 22-14. Lee Halfpenny got a try, and he got three penalties, giving the Blues a 14 points. Mm. And... With Johnny Wilkinson, he had five penalties, a conversion from Amateur's try. He had a personal tally of 17, give them 22. Mm. They've gone top of the group now. They've got 9 points. Sale have got 4, Montpellier have got 4, and the Blues have only got 1. And the next game is against Dai Young's. Montpellier. But they've still got a sale coming up, which would be interesting to see Dai Young back as coach against a team against the Cardiff Blues. Mm. So you'd be interested to see what sort of reception he'll get.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it'll be a very positive one. I'm sure. Brilliant. Awesome. And Si, I'm assuming you have a quick ice hockey update for us?
Yeah.
I'll let Mac introduce you.
This is Mac Falcon of the Cardiff Devils. You're listening to the Monday Night Sports Show on 98.7 FM. Bang on me.
Right, Devils played on Friday night, played Sheffield Steelers. I mean, apparently up in Sheffield in the... And it was quite an exciting game, apparently. It went to extra time. And... The Devils lost on penalties, I think it was. I mean, it was three. The Devils' goal scorers were McRae, Marsh, and Ben Davis again. But Devils seemed to have put a couple of good performance up there, and then they went down to the back home to the Blue Tent and played Nottingham in another classic game. I mean, against Nottingham, two goals for Max Burton Pierbeyer. I mean. You know, as I said, a couple of mates were on about that they really want to go and see the ice hockey and what game would I advise them. And I've always said to people who've asked me, I mean, for your first game, you've got an experience of Cardiff Nottingham game. I mean, guys, coming out of the rink and they were just saying, oh, I've got to go again. I mean, this is brilliant. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Because the Steelers is one thing, but the Panthers is another ball game altogether,
right,
isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Sheffield, as I say, Sheffield's another great rivalry, but I mean, Nottingham, our rivalry with Nottingham goes back further. And there's been such a great, some absolute classic games between Devils and the Panthers. And another really, really good game yesterday, and another good crowd. Devils, we're fourth for the moment in the table. It's not looking as bad as it could have. I mean, the latest table, Sheffield Steelers played 13, got 17 points. Belfast played 10, got 16. Nottingham played 10, got 13. Devils played 11, got 13. Coventry played 11, got 13. And in our dark horses, Brayhead, they've only played 8. They got 12 points.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all to play for, definitely.
Great stuff, great stuff, great stuff. OK, well, we haven't got time to go through it in any major detail, I'm afraid, but it's been a very, very big week in the Fantasy League, and here is this week's Fantasy League Top 10 Countdown. One to number 10 is Alexandru Rosmarais and Arsenal on 405. Down two to number 9, Simon Williams and the Grange End Boys on 419. And it's a non-mover at 8, Charlie Garner and TJ Hookers on 420 points. Up two to number 7, Matthew Eaves with Larks FC on 421. Down two to 6 is Aaron Moran and the A-Team on 441. And unchanged at 5, it's Andrew Birch with Rapid Renalton on 443. Up three places to number 4, Emily Klusterman and Klusters Hotspur on 446. Down one to number 3, it's Barmo with At Barton Life on 454. And down three places to number 2, it's Cal Farmer and Brush Your Teeth on 457. Which means it's a return to the top spot for Kwame Bannerman and Percy Pigs on 472 points. So, a big old week in the Fantasy League and a big old week, really, in football generally. A quick summary, Simon. We've got seconds left, literally. Nottingham Forest 3, Cardiff City 1. A bit of a mess up there at Forest.
Yeah, if not
bit of a setback, but remain top.
Of course. No, second being on goal difference.
Oh, sorry. Second on goal difference.
Yeah. But, I mean, don't sound like we put a very good performance up, but I mean, Nottingham's always a hard place to get a result anyway.
Especially now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, compared to last season, they certainly like they definitely with the money that's behind the club now, like Nottingham Forest. I mean, going in the right direction now. Yeah. But we got two big games coming up, two home games: Watford tomorrow and Burnley on Saturday.
Yep.
I mean, so we can very well be going back to top. With I'm not sure who Leicester are playing tomorrow, but I mean we could be a point or two, even hopefully 3 points clear of them by
and Burnley on Saturday.
Yeah, and then Burnley on Saturday.
Yep. Quick roundup of the Premier League action. Then it's QPR 1, Everton 1, Sunderland 1, Newcastle 1, Norwich 1, Arsenal 0. Shocker there. Holt did the business again. Fulham 1, Villa 0, Liverpool 1, Reading 0. Well done, Brendan. You got a win. Manchester United 4, Stoke 2, Swansea 2, Wigan 1, West Brom 1, Manchester City 2. Great comeback from City there. Interesting from Dzeko as well. We might have room to talk about that in a sec. West Ham 4, Southampton 1. And really, the game of the weekend has got to be Tottenham 2, Chelsea 4. Thoughts, Hughes? You got seconds.
Well, first of all, I didn't like that comment about Brendan Rodgers. You've got to win. You've got to win at home. He's already had a win in the league.
I know.
Man City was an interesting result for more reasons than one. First of all, they really are struggling. They were down for the majority of the match. Great that they came back to win, but they did it right at the death.
Yeah.
And they did it by bringing Dzeko on off the bench, which is interesting because he's banging in the goals. He's banging them in.
Banging them in.
And he can't get a start. But I really, really, really liked his comments when he was interviewed for Match of the Day, at least. They called him a super sub, and he really didn't like it. He said, no, I'm not a super sub. He said, I came off the bench and scored goals, and I've done it many times this season, but I'll never be a super sub. I want to start games, you know, which I really liked it.
Well, that says a lot about him, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, he was honest, and he and you know, a lot of people they oh yeah, thanks, I'm happy to be a super sub, but he wasn't, and I really liked that. I liked that honesty from him.
Absolutely. Now, guys, we need to quickly mention something that's just gone out of my head, and I can't remember what it was. Yes, Rio, of course, Rio Ferdinand, Chris Kirkland, Serbia. Well, let's deal with Chris Kirkland quickly first.
Oh, first of all, for Chris Kirkland, I'm devastated. I mean, first of all... thank God he's all right. He's not like the guy hit him over the head with a hammer or anything like that, but he is a really nice guy and one of the nicest guys, he seems, in football. Mm. So it couldn't have happened to a nicer bloke. Mm. And goalkeepers are always seems to be the target because they're the most vulnerable when you get on the pitch, especially from the back.
That's right.
They're the first ones to be targeted. So really, you know, gutted for him because he seemed devastated afterwards. It's just not right. I think his emotions afterwards really pushed how serious it was, because he wasn't attacked viciously, but it's just the shock, I think.
It's the principle behind it. Guys, we've got to make mention of again the issue of racism. You know, raising its head. Rio Ferdinand, of course, yesterday refusing to wear, and a few other people as well, refusing to wear the anti-racism campaign T-shirts. And of course, we've had this ugly, disgusting incident over in Serbia with the under-21s as well. I mean, this issue is just unbelievable, isn't it? It's whether are the campaigns doing enough. We've had that whole John Terry, Ashley Cole thing. Oh, it's just a mess, isn't it?
When it comes to Serbia, I think the interesting thing to say here is that what's really coming to light is that they seem to be going backwards in general, in their culture and in their society. And especially when it comes to welcoming football fans, they don't seem to be doing a very good job
Big
of it.
Big ban needs
to
be put in place by FIFA.
Yeah, something needs
FIFA.
To be sorted out, because
FIFA have got to take
I'm
the
just not
here.
Happy that British fans have been targeted for such a long time.
Yeah.
And we're always getting the short end of the stick, but that's not the case anymore.
No.
And something and attitudes need to change.
Yeah. Very quickly, a word on Rio.
He's fine. Let him do whatever he wants. He's a big grown man. He doesn't have to wear a T-shirt. I respect the fact that he's not just doing it. But as I've always said, racism in football is not the issue that it once was. Not in any way, shape or form. So in my opinion and in my experiences, things are going forward.
Yeah.
And that's I'm happy with that, you know. So I just wish that people would put things to bed. But if they're not happy to wear the T-shirt, then they don't have to wear the T-shirt. I just find it interesting that it's the law that didn't punish John Terry for his incident, but the English FA did.
Yeah.
So I don't know what people, you know, what they want.
Yeah.
What do these players want?
Well, it's a massive debate. We'll have to get the guys from Show Racism and the Red Car back in, I think, to have another debate on racism. Guys, thank you very much indeed for your company. Thanks as well to Carwin and to Mark for coming in and giving us such a fantastic discussion about alcohol in sport. Don't forget that this programme is available as a podcast from iTunes later this evening. Coming right up here on Radio Cardiff, it's the B-Side Rock Show with Alid and Alex, so stay tuned. Great show. And, of course, it's going to be the news at 8 o'clock as well, read by Joe Cox. But from Simon, from Yusuf and from me, until next Monday, bye-bye.
The sound of the capital city, Radio Cardiff.
Radio Cardiff News.
Radio Cardiff News on Monday, 22nd of October. Hello, this is Joe Cox. Hundreds of people gathered at Ely Fire Station yesterday afternoon to pay tribute to the popular 32-year-old mother who was killed on Friday afternoon during the terrible series of hit-and-run incidents. Many people also attended a church service yesterday, held in support of the victims and their families. A 31-year-old man has been charged with murder, as well as 13 counts of attempted murder, assault and dangerous driving. The police have said that although the man has been charged, the investigation is still ongoing and encourage anyone with additional information to come forward. Radio Cardiff's thoughts are with all the families affected by this tragedy. Roath Park is now home to an award-winning garden honouring Captain Scott, one of Britain's greatest adventurers. Captain Scott's expedition set sail from Cardiff to the South Pole in 1910. The expedition ended in tragedy with the death of Scott and his team. The garden was originally put together in 2010 and won awards at the Chelsea Flower Show and the Royal Horticultural Show in Cardiff. Swansea City players decided not to wear the anti-racism T-shirts during Saturday's game, which are part of the Kick It Out campaign. Michael Vorm, Swansea City's goalkeeper, has revealed that there is a feeling of...
Thank you for downloading the Radio Cardiff Sport Podcast. For more information about the show, go to our blog.
Radio Cardiff Sport.
blogspot.com